From Palm Sunday to today, we have been preparing for this very moment, for the resurrection of Christ, our celebration of that reality that has called us into a new creation. And yet the glory of the resurrection does not take away the reality that it should never have happened. Now, don't get me wrong, it's an amazing reality that it did happen, that Christ suffered and died for us, rose again from the dead. But an innocent man was found guilty and was killed for a crime that he never committed. It is a reality that is blatantly obvious, that he was a man without sin, and yet was killed for truly speaking about who he was, about being the Son of God. An innocent man found guilty of a crime that he did not commit. This is something that is not supposed to happen in the United States either. We have developed a whole system of laws, and in fact, our Constitution and the foundations of our government are built around many principles, one of those being that it is better to allow a guilty person to go free than it is to sentence an innocent person to punishment. The reality is, though, is that this does happen. It does happen that innocent people, even in our great country, are found guilty of crimes that they have not committed, or at least we cannot prove that they committed them. It is a reality that is part of many TV shows, documentaries, that I've been fascinated with in recent weeks. I think we've all had a bit more time to watch TV, haven't we? And many of these realities do end on a happy note. Now, don't get me wrong, I do go into these series with a mind to the hope that the criminal justice system will do its job. But most times I find myself rather frustrated in the reality that seemingly an innocent person has been found guilty of a crime that he has not or she has not committed. It is something that should not happen in this great nation, and yet it does take place, and that is the reality of what it is. It's something that we should face, that innocent people are punished for something that they didn't do. This is something that shouldn't happen in the United States, and yet it does, and there are other things that shouldn't happen here, because we have systems in place that are meant to prevent things like that from taking place. And thus I get to the reality, and I hope it has touched you, at least in some ways over these past weeks, that the United States leads the world in cases of the coronavirus. Weeks ago, who would have thought this was the reality that we would be facing? I mean, of all of the things that we have come to trust in, our government, our healthcare, our scientists, everything. Everything about our society is predicated off of the idea that we are the United States, that we should be protected from this. Should be, and yet those things have failed. Those things that we counted on to protect us from something like this have failed. It's not anyone's particular fault, but those systems that we had put so much faith in did not deliver. And in fact, people are suffering because of it. It's something that we don't think or should not have expected to take place here, and yet it has. We are struck with the reality that we are in this paradox. We have put so much faith in these realities, especially our science, that what are we to do now? Many, of course, are turning to God, which is good, and yet many also are doubting whether or not God exists, which can also be good. It is through trial that our faith is enabled to grow. And especially to our young people in this reality, I do want to call you to question, what is it that God is calling you to do in the midst of this difficult time? Especially looking around and seeing how so many of the things that we took for granted are no longer the same. All of those seniors in high school preparing to graduate, there's been a lot said about them, about how they won't be able to experience the high school graduation that they had prepared for. And don't get me wrong, that is a sad reality. But I also think of those in college. They're about to graduate as well into a job market that is uncertain at best. What are we to put our faith in? Especially when so much has failed in these last couple of weeks, what is it that we are to put our faith in? Dear sisters and brothers, I believe the answer lies in three questions that we will be asked today in the renewal of our baptismal promises. To boil them down to the essentials, those three questions are, do you believe in God? Do you believe that God exists? Do you believe that God is loving? The second, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he really existed? That he is both human and divine? That he wasn't crazy? That he truly was who he said that he was? And finally, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in a Holy Spirit that is active, alive, and powerful, that desires our good? If you answer yes to these three questions, and I hope that your heart leads you to that answer, then what is it that God is calling you to do? No amount of online classroom work will fulfill this time that we have. This is a sacred time, a time to really begin to ask ourselves, what is it that we have been putting our trust in? Although God has not parted the way for us, I believe that there are still many reasons why we are called to place our trust in God above all things. Let us allow this time to reveal to us the weakness of those other things that we have been putting our trust, popularity, possessions, and power, those other realities that have failed so easily these past several weeks. Let us turn to the one who we believe in, who we know to be true, and who will help to guide us in answering those questions that are deep within our hearts.